Blog Talk Radio. You know, there is no time, no space where God is absent. His power is always present.
Let's talk about the healing and everybody. God. I love that song. I love that song. Let me thank you all for calling in. Let me thank you all for calling in. And let me thank God for allowing me to have this show tonight. I just want to thank you for showing up. Thank you for tuning in. Praise the Lord for us being here to listen to my guest host tonight. Welcome to my show. My show is Failure is Not an Option, FINO for short. And I am your host, Dr. James Thompson. And tonight's show is Don't Put God in a Box. And my guest host tonight is Minister Antoinette Cole. Minister Cole, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to let you lead us in a prayer, opening up the show, and I'm going to let you take it from there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
It's all
Thank
yours.
You. Thank you.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
You. Bishop-elect Thompson, I'd like to thank you so much for this time and this platform and this training ground that you have us leaders on. I'm going to open up in prayer. Father God, we just want to lift you up tonight. We just thank you so much, Father God, for what you are doing in the body of Christ. We thank you for restoration, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for just giving us, Father God, the desire to serve you first, Father God, and to also take on the call of leadership, Jesus. When you've called us, Father God, we want to be mindful of how to lead, Jesus, and we just want to thank you, Lord. We honor you. We ask you that this mission tonight, this segment of time will be yours. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who will come in and just lead this show tonight. We thank you for our leaders, Father God. We thank you for our apostle, Father God, Kim Warfield, Jesus, and what she's doing in her leadership, and also for Bishop-elect James Thompson for giving us this time, Father God, to just call on you, Father God. And we just love you, and we lift you up, and we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And tonight we are going to talk about our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And Bishop Thompson and I, we talked about this one title of not putting God in a box. And he titled it, Don't Put God in a Box. And he said, Minister Tony, I want you to talk about that, and I need you front and center. And I said, okay, Bishop, you're challenging me and you're calling me to the front. I like to stay in the back. But he said, no, God has called you to something better than just remaining in the back or remaining behind the curtain. And I just first give honor to God and to Bishop James Thompson, who I believe God has placed in my life to lead me and give God's leaders a great platform and a voice under his ministry. Failure is not an option, or FINO. I also want to thank each and every leader who is on this call tonight or who is on this show tonight and who's present. It is through your obedience and your sacrifice that God is making a way for your gifts and your anointing. So thank you again for tuning in to Bishop-elect James Thompson's training and war room. Failure is not an option. I believe it is not by accident that I am speaking tonight on this Blog Talk radio show. And when we have been called to leadership for Christ, it seems as though any and every obstacle will get in our way. And I believe every obstacle and weapon formed against my life has brought me right here to this leadership opportunity to share the goodness of what Jesus Christ has done for me and to tell other upcoming leaders who may be pastors, preachers, teachers, apostles, evangelists, prophets, and bishops that God is with you. No matter what your circumstance is or what lies the enemy has formed against your calling or against your life, you rebuke it in Jesus' name, and you get with other like-minded individuals, other leaders who see greatness in you, who see the call upon your life, and you attach yourself to God's people like never before. And all we have to do, all you have to do is be obedient and in a humble stance and watch Jesus do his work. He is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am. He is my sweet rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley and the Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Why would we want to put that kind of God in a box? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that is our topic for discussion tonight. And we want to take God out of the box. And it could be so many things that could have caused us to put him in a box. And we're going to title this also Mission Unbox God. And I know Bishop Elect Thompson, I know he is military keen and wise and just knowing that we can take that type of leadership and we can allow him to teach us what obedience, sacrifice, and what discipline means to God. What does it mean to be disciplined in this day and time? Do you have anything to say, Bishop?
I agree totally, wholeheartedly, with everything that you've had to say so far. And we're trying to use this as a platform to help our leaders find their voice. The show is going to be archived. It's going to be recorded. And you get an opportunity to get your own personal feedback from yourself as you listen to the archived show. And we've assigned different messages for our ministers and our leaders, because we need to have committed leaders. We need to have leaders who are going to lead from the front, who are totally committed in the essence of their very heart and their very soul. And I asked you to speak on this subject, don't put God in a box. And if you remember, we had a couple of scriptures, and I'll read one and I'll let you talk about it. Psalms 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. So let's talk about a God that does all that he pleases. How can you afford to put him in any kind of limitations or any kind of restricted type of service or any kind of restricted type of power or limitations at all, period. So let's talk about that. He does what he pleases. Let's talk about that for a moment. I'm going to let you go ahead and deal with that one. Go ahead.
Pretty much, I just believe that God is so big. He is so awesome, and he's so wondrous. And if we understand just the works, his works, his creation, how he formed this whole creation of his by a word. And so if we understand that God is so big, it's not, we should not even consider the thought of putting God in a box. But it could be done, because a lot of times we don't know the power that we have through Jesus Christ, not by our own power, our own might, but by his power. And I just know that he wants us to understand it. He wants us to catch it. He wants us to know the Holy Spirit is here for us, working for us and with us, and that we shall do even greater works than what Jesus did. So if he says that, or if he left that on the earth for us, we have not even begun to understand or fathom what God has in mind for each and every one of us who loves him and who are fitting into
Amen.
His plan. Yes.
Amen. I want to input something here. The concept of putting God in a box, we do it so much. We want to command God. We get depressed. We get frustrated. We get upset when our prayers are not answered. And I personally don't want a God that I can control. I don't want a God that I can demand certain things from that God. I want to be led by God. I don't want to lead God. I don't want to put, as I said, God in a box so that he can be controlled by my whims, by my desires or my wishes. And he does all that he pleases. And when he does what he pleases, it may not be what I want him to do. And that is when we have to accept God's will. I just wanted to interject that for a moment. And I'm going to take you to another scripture. It's Romans 8:28. And the scripture says this: "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And I want you to expound on that a little bit. I want you to talk about how all things work together for good, no matter what the situation, trials, tribulations, whatever we're facing, and that is a totally committed state of mind to be in. Talk about it for me.
Amen. Yes. I understand that all things work together for the good. And a lot of times when we don't really fully understand our purpose and our calling, just like David, he was anointed as a boy pretty much when Samuel came to anoint him. He didn't know his full reign for another 40 years, I believe, because he was young and he had to go through a lot of things. But in the end, God still had his hands on him. All things worked together for his good, for God's good, for God's glory. And just, you know, I can always identify with God's men and women who he used in the Bible, because they were ordinary people. They were not, like you said, Bishop, that he qualifies the called. And that's what he does. He just needs someone who is obedient, someone who is willing, someone who is humble to come and to say, "Yes, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord. Send me." And God will do it for you. You may not be perfect in it. You may not even understand the call on your life until you have had to go through some things before you can get to your destiny that God has placed you here for.
Amen. Amen. I want to throw something at you here. We can't afford to make our problems bigger than God. We look at the trials, the tribulations. We look at our financial situations. We look at our struggles. We look at our relationships. We look at the things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. We look at what the devil sends our way, the enemy, by the way, sends our way to distract us and to keep us from walking into our destiny. This is a war. This is a full combat, full gear, full metal jacket. And the devil, the enemy, is taking no prisoners. And if we put our problems, if we make our problems greater than the ability or the power of God, as the song said, learn to respect the power of God. And when we learn to respect the power of God, then we can't put God in that box of limitations, thinking that our situations, our problems are beyond his ability. God's not dead, and God is still in control, no matter what the enemy is trying to make you think, attacking your mind. God is still in control. I have another scripture I want to throw at you real quick, and I'll let you talk about it for a moment before we go on a break, and we're going to be going on a break in a few minutes. And it's Isaiah 40 and 23. Isaiah 40 and 23, and I'm just throwing this at you. I'm letting you allow God to speak into your heart and mind. Say, we need to be able to look into the Word and pull the essence of the Scripture out so that we can get a definitive explanation that will touch the hearts and minds of the people. The Lord told me once, he said, speak from the heart to the heart. And so I want to throw this at you. I want you to ponder it for a moment as I read it to you and let God speak through you. Isaiah 40 and 23. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Now, I read this scripture to you, and I ask that question so that we can realize it is utterly ludicrous to put God in a box. So that's Isaiah 40 and 23. Talk about it for me.
Yes, Bishop. It says he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. And I say again that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And it is just to really let us understand that Jesus, God, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the ruler of all. He is too big to put in the box in the recesses of our mind or even in the recesses of our hearts. It's where we could just lay dormant, you know, and I've talked about the pot of stew, you know, that everything is settled at the bottom, you know, and this is for our leaders who are listening. And I'm telling you, as God comes, the anointing comes, the Holy Spirit comes to stir you up, to stir that, everything that's settled down there at the bottom, he wants to come in and he wants to stir all of that up inside of each and every one of us so that we can be quickened in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, so that he will make room for our giftings. He will begin to show us. He will begin to direct us into all truth. And he will begin to use us like never before in this end time move of God. You know, so we can't get it twisted. We can't believe that we are better than, or that we are greater than, or that we know it all. Like Bishop says, at times we don't know it all. You know, this is a training ground, and that everyone should come humbly before God with our hands raised, with our hands lifted up, with our face down before him, asking him, Lord, what do you need me to do? Teach me, Lord, show me who I am in Christ Jesus. And I just believe that he wants us to constantly come before him and ask him, you know, Lord, what do you need me to do to praise and worship him, to honor him at all times in our life?
Amen. Very well put. Very well put. And for the listeners, I have a question for you. Have you allowed, listening now, have you allowed situations and conditions and circumstances, have you allowed them to limit your God's power? Have you been so attacked by the enemy has the devil played into your life circumstances so deeply that you have allowed him to put you in a mindset where you limit your God's powers or your God's ability? The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth with his word. With his word, and his authority exceeds all other authority. There is no power. There is no power. That word, no, does not leave exception for anyone. No power that exceeds the power of our living God. And we can't afford to allow the devil and his activities, his minions, his soldiers, his ground troops, to affect our thinking, to affect our minds, to contaminate the call that's on our lives as ministers of the gospel, as men and women of the Holy Word. We can't allow people who oppress us, who suppress us, to contain us in such a manner as to cause our thinking to put our God in a box. And that is one of the reasons why we have decided to speak on this particular subject tonight. So again, I ask you this question, and I ask you to think about it. Have you been beaten so bad? Have you been oppressed? I'm talking about men and women of God who church hurt, who are in churches, who have been held in check, so to speak, and not allowed to allow the anointing that's on their life to express itself. Because, see, when we're at war, teamwork is essential, and we don't dispute or argue with ourselves and among ourselves. We work together because we're in actual combat, and so we need each other's support. And it doesn't matter who, as I said once before, who takes the left shot in a basketball game. I don't care as long as we win the game, and that is the way it is with us. We cannot allow the devil, the enemy, to make our situations contaminate our thought process. Now, we're going to have another scripture here, and I'm going to throw this one at you from nowhere, Minister Cole. It's Psalms 62 and 11. It's Psalms 62 and 11. And it says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Come on. Talk to me.
Amen. Yes, all power belongs to God, and he is there for us. He is ready for us. He is just waiting on us. He's waiting for us to catch a glimpse of his glory, to know that he is wanting us to come into his glory, to his presence, to fellowship with him, to worship him, to acknowledge that he is there with us, that he is too big and too great to put in a box, to not know that he has called us to greatness. He has called us to a mission. He has called us to get whatever he has for us, the anointed, the set apart, the salt of the earth. If we know this, we are held accountable for the knowledge that he has given us, for we cannot say, oh, we did not know. The more knowledge that you gain in Christ, the more that he gives us, we are more accountable for that, because he knows that we can do this. He has trusted us with our stories. He knows we are overcomers. We cannot be silent. We cannot be victims. We cannot stay in our victimization. We have to overcome and be victorious over every circumstance to stand up for the call, because we have to pull up the other soldiers from the trenches, the other hurting people, those who are hurting and don't know how to get up. We're stronger. We haven't been wounded. We don't have any bullets in our legs that we can't walk and we can't help or carry along. We are our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. We have to encourage one another. We have to sharpen one another, and we have to be willing and able to take on any and everything that God has called each and every one of us to. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a break for a moment, and we're going to come back. But I read the scripture to you one more time. It says, Psalm 62.
And Olive has to go through three stages, for it's all to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. For the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing.
Amen. preparing me for greater. Greater is coming. The only way that we can realize that greater is coming is to realize that God is all power, all authority, that God can exceed any problem that we have. There's no problem, no situation, no mountain, nothing that is beyond his authority. I want to thank you all for calling in, those who are just joining the show. This is Failure is Not an Option, Steno, and I am Dr. James Thompson, and I am your host, and my guest host tonight is Minister Antoinette Cole. Greater is coming. Your greater is coming. It has to be a commitment. It has to be a definite stance in your mind that you refuse, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil no matter what the circumstances are. I was reading not that long ago where it talked about how the men of God, the apostles, the forefathers, how they died in their faith, no matter the circumstances, when they were crucified, when they were hung on a cross, when they were thrown into the pits with the lions, when they were drawn and quartered, they died in their faith, meaning that they died still believing and holding on to God. They died. Their life was taken, but they died. They died into their confidence and their faith in God. And that's the commitment that we have. That's the determination, the focus that we have to have. We can't put God in a box and thinking that the things that we're dealing with exceed his power and his authority. Minister Cole, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
I want to throw another scripture at you. It's 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 6. And I'll read it to you. It says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Oh, my God. How could you put that kind of God in a box? Limit that God. Talk to me. Come on. Help me out with that, Minister Cole.
Amen. Thank you again, Bishop-elect Thompson, for allowing me to speak and host with you tonight. And yes, like you said, oh Lord God of our fathers, you are not God in heaven, and you do not rule over all the king, and you not rule, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? And that is just telling us again of his wondrousness. He is so mighty. We have to understand that about our God. He is not a God that is a statue. He is not something that we grew up with, you know, worshiping from metal or from iron or wood. But he is an all-powerful, all-consuming God. And if we can just understand that, it is his power. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So that means that we have to daily, constantly be plugged into his source. We're like a radio with a plug. If we don't plug it, that radio into the wall, there's no power in it. And we have to constantly know that God wants us to get plugged into his power, into his heart, into his mind, the mind of Christ. And to just know that he needs us. He needs us for such a time as this. We are running out of time, leaders of God, leaders of the Most High God. We are running out of time. He needs us to desperately get this, get ourselves together to understand that we have been called to something great for him and the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
I'm in total agreement with that, and I'm trying to put the total focus on the ability to God to exceed and go beyond our current situations. We can't put him in a box, and we keep saying that term because I want it understood that when we put something in a box, let's look at it like this. When you take something and you lock it away, or you just put it in a box, you kind of move away from it. You disallow it. You don't use it anymore. You have no use for it because you can get into the frame of mind and the state of mind where it doesn't serve any purposes. It's not doing anything for me. I'm not going to wear this anymore. I'm not going to use this anymore. I'm just going to put it in the box, put it up on the shelf. And we look to other things. Then we look to ourselves. We look to our own individual intellectual capabilities. We look to our own understanding. We look to our own wisdom. We look to our own knowledge. And we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to not realize the God that we serve and to realize that this is a war and the devil is constantly trying to accuse us. And he doesn't just go to God and accuse us before God. He accuses us in our own minds. You know you're not ready. You know that you're going to mess this up. You know that God didn't tell you to do that. He's constantly playing in our thought process. And when he does that, he causes us to take God and put him in that box, put God in a limited role in our lives. And we can't afford to put God in that limited role in our lives. Amen. Ms. Cole, I have another scripture for you. I'm going to throw it at you from the outside here. It's Isaiah 26 and 4. It's Isaiah 26 and 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Oh, my God. That's Isaiah 26 and 4. It says again, trust in the Lord forever. No. Trust in the Lord sometimes, right? Only when he's doing what we ask him to do, only when we can command him to meet our needs and pay my light bill, pay my rent, get me a new car, get me a wife, get me a husband. That's the only time we trust in him when he does what we want him to do right. Now, it says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Come on, talk to me about
it. Amen. Yes.
Share your heart on that.
Amen. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength, and it is. He is everlasting to everlasting. God does not leave us. He does not forsake us. He wants relationship with each and every one of us. He longs for us to come in and fellowship with him. He has all the psalms that we could ever really want. If you just read one or two, you see how great the Lord is, how wondrous is his name, how worship, you know, God needs us to understand. He needs us to come in and he needs us to lift our hands. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, come into his presence with singing, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And so he needs us to just begin to embellish him and to enjoy it, not to make it seem like it's work for us and, oh, God, I got to get up in the morning, I got to pray. And no, we should have a expectant heart to, you know, go before him and to just be so glad to be in his presence, to just lay our face down before God and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, for knowing that I was a wretched person, I was a wretched man, a wretched woman, and we will forever be without him, you know, if we don't constantly stay in his face and constantly acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can always end up out in the middle of nowhere, spiritually speaking. So I just ask each of our leaders, you know, to just understand how great our God is. He is great, and he is not to be put in a box. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Don't make your problems. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to ask you too, after you finish with this, if there was a I had invited a guest to listen in, and I wanted to see if you would bring him on to say hello to you and to introduce himself. But, you know, I just didn't know if you saw a phone number with the 757 area code. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention after you finish.
Amen. Amen. No.
Amen.
We're all here to encourage each other. We're all here
Amen.
To train and teach each other. And the concept that
yes.
we're going by is train the trainers. You see,
yes.
we have leaders on the line, and we're training them to train other leaders. And as you're training
Amen.
Other leaders, then the mission cannot fail, because we have those who are in place who have the definite understanding of the power of God in their lives. And yes, I do. 757.
Amen, Bishop.
Yes, I do have a caller. With that number in the queue, and I was basically going to wait a little bit longer and ask a few more questions and do a little bit more talking, and I'm going to have others come on and ask some questions or make some comments. We have a few more minutes left on the show, so we got time for it. But,
thank you, Bishop.
I am enjoying. My pleasure. See, that's what we do. See, iron sharpens iron. You say
Amen.
That all the time. Our chief apostle, by the way, has given us the opportunity. God is just doing some wonderful things in her mind. She has given us the opportunity to sharpen each other. She's given us the opportunity to work with leaders. You see,
it is the leaders
that make the mission successful. Now, you would think it's the soldiers. No. It is the leaders that motivate the soldiers. Christ left us with the 12 apostles, 11 apostles, and he assigned them a task. He assigned them a mission. And their commitment to the mission, mission success, mission essential. It's not about me. It's not about my pride. It's not about my hurt feelings. It's not about someone who's oppressing or depressing me. It's about the power of God in my life and me being responsible to the call of God on my life. I cannot afford to allow my problems, situations, circumstances to cause me to mentally put God in a box and to think that there is a situation, there is a problem, there is something that God cannot fix. That is not possible, because all power given by God to his son, Jesus Christ, who in turn turned around and gave it to us to operate within the kingdom's army of the Lord. I'm so motivated and so happy to have you on my show, Minister Cole. You said some very powerful things to me throughout the conversations that we've had. You brought something to my attention, and I'm going to talk about it for a brief moment. You told me about Jacob. That's where I got that lesson, commitment to the mission, from a conversation you and I had. You told me about how Jacob held on to that angel all night long. He refused to let go. He told that angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You gave me a word. I prepared a word on that alone, commitment to the mission. And I talked to some of the members, leaders, I should say, of Cultivating Wholeness, Restoration Ministries International. We taught that for them because we're in a time, and we're in a particular part of history. And the Bible says there's a time and a season for everything. We're in a particular part of history when the song that I really love and people that like to sing, it says, he's rising up an army, and all of the chains are going to be broken. We're in that time when the committed warriors, the committed soldiers are being drawn out and being placed into their positions of authority. And we can't do that with God in a box in our minds. Can I get amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
amen, Bishop.
I got another scripture. I got a scripture I want to throw at you. And something Jesus said. It's in Matthew 19 and 26. It's something Jesus said. It reads like this. That's Matthew 19 and 26. I'll give you an opportunity to find it. But Jesus looked at them and said, oh, my God. Matthew 19 and 26. The word said, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And with that in itself, don't allow the people who are perpetrating a fraud, who are telling you to stand in line, if you can spare a dime, stealing in the name of the Lord. People, I'm about to go off into talking about prosperity, being successful, but when prosperity becomes your key focus, the Bible says that we should put all of our treasures up in heaven, not on earth. That's another story. But Mexico, talk to me about that. Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. All things are possible. Come on, talk to me.
Amen.
Take a break, and then we're going to bring on some of the callers on the line. I'm going to let the guests that you invited speak, by the way.
Amen.
But talk to me about that a little bit. With God, all things are possible.
Amen. God says, if we believe, he that believeth can go on and on and on. To believeth, not just believe, but to exercise the faith that he has given us, to know that, you know, without God, with God, all things are possible, you know, to them that believe. And God is challenging us. He's challenging us to try him and see if he will pour out a blessing so great for us. It has not even entered into the heart of man the things that Christ has for us. And I just challenge every leader today who's listening and who may listen in the future to just begin to understand the power that is behind first the name of Jesus and then behind your name. It is not us doing it, but we are open vessels, we are willing vessels, we are anointed vessels of God who are willing to just do the work that God has called us to do for such a time as this, in this day and time. There's a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. In Hebrews it says, And the great cloud of witnesses are surrounding you, and they're rooting for each and every one of you. And they were leaders. God used them in a mighty, mighty way. So they're rooting for us here in 2015, going into 2016, to keep up the mission, to do all that we can, to not fall by the wayside, to not get in ourselves and become depressed and broken, but to just rise up and to understand that I may lose some of these battles, but I'm not going to lose this war, this victory war. We are not victims of our circumstances. We are victorious over every circumstance that God has given us to be victors over. It is not about our story. He's given each one of us a storyline, but he trusted us with the storyline. I don't care how victimized we were, even if we were victimized in the womb, which 9 times out of 10 the enemy will try to destroy us in the womb. But as we made it this far, we can come, and we can come boldly, and we can come and say that Jesus Christ is Lord, lift his name up, honor him, do the work, be present, be mindful of him and just know that he is with you at all times. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, people say talk is cheap, but God created the heavens and the earth by the utilization of his word. The word that he spoke, he said, let there be light, and there was light in the midst of darkness. And I want to bring a little symbology here. When we talk about light, we're talking about knowledge in the ignorance of not knowing. God is great. God is powerful. We're going to take a small break here, and when we come back, I'm going to let you talk a little more, but I'm going to open up all of the mics. I'm going to let the mics open up, and if
Amen.
You have something you want to say, if you want to talk, if you want to speak, just come on in. We can't see you, so don't feel rude.
Thank
if you Jesus. Speak up or say something, and we'll acknowledge your voice. God is great.
Yes.
God is good. I just want to
yes,
tell you,
is.
I'm going to give you this to go away with, and we are coming back shortly from this break. I want you to listen to this. We're going to up-tempo things a little bit. I want you to hold on.
All right.
It's coming.
Ooh, yeah. Well, wow. Oh, yeah.
Here we go, y'all. Sing a little message out to those of y'all who feel like you're struggling.
Yeah. It's a simple song.
Gonna be all in the troubles of life, weigh it down.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've opened up all the mics. And you can be heard. You can be heard. You can be heard.
Amen.
If you have something, if you have something that you want to say, I'm opening up the mic to let you speak your mind. We're going to have a little take God out the box conversation. Come on with it.
All right. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord,
everybody.
We hear you. Go ahead and let us know who you are.
All right. Hi, my name is Bernard Ellison. I pastor here in Virginia in two areas, Chesapeake and Virginia Beach. I had two churches at one time. I'm no longer, I'm still a pastor. Don't get it wrong now.
Amen. All right,
but
Amen.
I no longer have a church at this time. But anyway, one of my churches was called Got the Victory Christian Center, and the reason for behind that name, because God has given me that name, and it was God's
Amen.
Anointing to for me to go forth and do this business of His. The Got the Victory is behind that is because all of us as saints, we have the victory through Jesus Christ. So the people of God that came to that, what God brought to me, I should say, okay, well, who God brought to me to minister to. They had the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And the other church was called New Life. It was in Virginia Beach. And New Life was just like you said, a new branch of people just want to know, you know, God and wanted to learn about God. And I thank God for, you know, using me in that atmosphere also. And this was kind of a multitude of different type of, ethnics of people. You know, they were from different countries, Philippines, Korean, and others. You know, it was just a mixture of people. And I thank God for allowing me to speak to the people of God that He brought to that church. And I praise
Amen.
God for, first of all, using me as the man of God. But let me go back and say thank God for this ministry. And I thank you, Bishop Thompson, right? Is that right?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's right.
Thank you, Bishop Thompson, for just for what you're doing here. That was some awesome stuff today. I like it. And I thank God
Amen.
For it.
Amen.
You know, for touching Sister Tony there. I tell you, it was flowing. I got to give it to you. You did what you had to do. You allowed the Holy Spirit to do what He has to do, you know, in this whole atmosphere. I thank God.
Amen.
For it, you know.
Yes.
But it's a beautiful thing, and I think I just come on again and hear some more, you know.
Amen.
I was talking to Sister Tony earlier, and I was telling her, even though I know who God has called me to be. I know I was called to be a pastor. I know I was called from a little boy. My sister told me that. My younger sister told me that when I was a kid. I laughed at her. But I knew my calling, and she saw it. I didn't see it. I didn't want to see it. I was a kid, you know. I just wanted to go outside and play with the boys in the streets, you know. But once I got to a certain age, I heard the calling. I mean, I was in the shower, clear, God's voice. I did what I had to do then. I ran when the window was open. I ran when the door was open, whatever you want to call it. I ran. I
Amen.
Did what I had to do for God. That's why I went out there to do the mission for God. And that's why as I was telling her earlier too, that I just believe God. I just believe Him. I believe His word. I believe
Amen.
His spirit. I just believe Him. I believe Jesus Christ has died and arose in 3 days, and now He sits on the right hand of the throne of the Heavenly Father. I believe that. I believe
Amen.
Jesus Christ
Amen.
Shed His blood for us. I believe that. No matter what my situation, no matter what I've been through, I still believe God.
That's
right.
The
way I stand
Amen.
Here today. I still believe God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm
going
to leave it to somebody else. Because they said pastors don't know how to turn over the mic, but I'm going to turn it over. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Thank God.
Before
amen.
You go, don't
you.
Go anywhere. Amen. Don't go anywhere. I was sharing something with the leaders today.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a friend, and it popped in my head, and sometimes God just be tripping me out. You know, when he says some stuff, and I look back over what he just said, and I'm gonna say it to you because I need two things. I want to say to you, Pastor. First thing is, life is a struggle. You're gonna be struggling in life as long as you are in this human body. You are a spiritual being on a human journey.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Yes.
You're not a human being on a spiritual journey. You're a spiritual being on a human journey. And the obstacles that the flesh are creating for you, they are not insurmountable, but they are treacherous. Now, I want to tell you this. The struggle, we're going to continue to struggle. I shared this today. I'm going to share it with you. We're going to struggle throughout life. But one thing we cannot afford to do, Pastor, and that is let the struggle be in us.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
We can't afford to let that struggle be in us. We have to have clarity. We have to have preciseness. We have to have vision and direction. And you have that vision and direction. And don't let what has caused you to be in a negative situation cause you to be in a negative state of mind. I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
I told you God be saying some stuff. Don't let what has caused you to be in a negative situation, and that's for everyone else that's listening, cause you to be in a negative state of mind. You keep on doing what you're doing. One more thing, I just want to share with you. And the church, it's about the church. Let me share this with you, and let me see if you can see it this way. You see, we have been so bound by physical locations, by buildings, by people saying that their church, their huge, humongous building that they go to, and they call that the church. Pastor, I want to put this before you. See, the church, you are the church. The church is your heart. The church is
Thank
your
you,
mind.
Jesus.
You are the church. Wherever you go, you take the church with you. The church is not a building. The Bible says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, but the church.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it to you like this. When we take you and we take the Minister Cole and we take the other callers that are on the line, and I add myself, we are blocks. I'm a cement block. You are cement block. Minister Cole is a cement block. And we are building the building that is in the kingdom of God. So don't let a negative situation create a negative mindset. You continue to serve God. You continue to allow God to. There was a song I was listening to. And it was about this old man, and he said he was a nobody trying to tell everybody about a man who can save. Come on, you heard him can save anybody.
Yes.
So he was on the street, and he was telling people when he got an opportunity about somebody who can save everybody. Sometimes we get so caught up with our church. We get so caught with our church that we neglect the church. Say that again. Sometimes I'm not preaching to you, but you just said, I stirred something in me. Pastor, sometimes we get so caught up with our church that we forget about the church. Oh, I'm going to say it again. You didn't hear that.
Come
sometimes, and that's for all the listeners on the line, sometimes we get caught up with our church. That we forget about the church, and the church is you. The church is your heart. Hold fast. I played that song. Hold on. A change is coming. A man asked me, how do I smile? And I tell him, when I take a look around, I see that I'm getting by. And I hold on, because change is coming.
It's coming.
Minister Tony told me, and I'm going to let somebody else speak, but I got to say this, and that thing has been, I've been going through some things myself, Pastor, going through some situations, being oppressed and depressed and being suppressed. And with people who feel like they got a holy anointing. But see, the Bible said the first going to be last and the last going to be first. How does that play out? It means those who get there first, they got there sometimes too soon. Not all of them, some of them too soon. So they miss some stuff on the way. But the people that are coming behind them, they got an opportunity to pick it all up. So I'm trying to tell you, Pastor, pick it all up. Use it all. You know, benefit. Hold on, because a change is coming.
You gotta
see, this is a war, and see the devil. He won't take nothing from you if you ain't got nothing in you. I'm gonna say it again. I don't think you heard that. He won't take nothing from you if you ain't got nothing in you. Don't disrespect the call on your life by allowing the devil to make your situation and your circumstances a whole lot greater than the God who's called you. You said you were called from a little boy.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I feel like the Lord called me when I was in my mother's womb. I had a man of God tell me that. But then I'm going to tell you something. I need you to hear this, even though we're talking. God don't need no go-betweeners. He don't need no go-between.
Right.
He talked to you. My chief apostle said all the time, she tell me this all the time, and now she got me a believer. She tell me all the time, see, you got people who prophesy to you, people who talk to you. Nothing wrong with that because, see, we are our brother's keeper, and we're supposed to lift each other up. God may give me a word, and I can give it to you. But then, see, God got something important dealing with your life, he's going to tell you. He ain't going to have to tell me. He ain't got no go-between us. All you got to do is just be willing to listen to what he has to say. And my chief apostle, Apostle Dr. Kim Warfield, she tells me all the time, Bishop, I don't need nobody to prophesy to me. God can tell me what he wants me to know. And I tell you that. Let God tell you what he wants you to know. Don't allow your situation, your circumstances. I want to invite you. I'm going to let Minister Cole tell you a little bit more about cultivating holiness. And it's about leaders.
Bishop, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Let me rephrase what I said. The chief apostle's on the phone. I said,
okay, amen. Say
more.
Go ahead.
I said, don't give me Bible quotes. I said, I know the Bible. I got 10 years theology education. That's what I got my PhD in. I said, if you got a word from the Lord, then give it to me straight from God, because I will listen to that prophetic word. But I don't need anybody to be giving me cliches like, the Lord said, I know what the Lord said. I can open up that Bible and tell me, but if you got a prophetic word, I'm ready for it. So I just wanted to refresh, to correct that statement.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
I stand corrected, Bishop. This is rebuke.
Can I say something? Can I say that?
Go ahead.
You kind of got me all kind of worked up a little bit because when you made that statement, because I think about when God sent his angel, then if we're not listening to what God has sent for, then we are not listening to God.
Can
you help me with that? Okay.
Amen.
Let me correct that,
because see, they got the wrong interpretation.
The chief apostle is saying
that if there's a word coming from the Lord, I will listen to it, but don't give me Bible stuff that I already know. Don't tell me when I get up in the morning that I don't feel well, that the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you're healed. I know that. I'm saying that you got a word from the Lord. Here's what I'm saying. That's when I listen to you, because I can't stop what thus saith the Lord. So hear what I'm saying. I want it to be said right. I don't want anybody teaching me Bible when I know that Bible. My spiritual mother taught me that. She said, daughter, don't give me anything that is of that Bible. But if you got a word straight from that throne of grace, then you come to me and you tell me. Now I understand.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You and immature saints will stop the chief apostle and say,
yes.
Oh, chief apostle, the Bible says, and
all right.
Amen. That's that technical devil trying to do something. Go ahead, Chief Apostle. Go ahead.
Now, what I'm saying is that
uh-huh.
what I'm saying is that when you're immature in your call, you
yes.
of course, if you're mature and you're led spiritually, you would already know that I know certain things. So
yes.
that's why I put a stop to certain people
yes.
that comes to me with stuff that I already know, because I know you're not in the spirit. So,
yes.
if you're
Amen.
Going to come to me with what thus saith the Lord, because I will, a two-year-old
Amen.
Can come to me and tell me that the Lord said, and I'm going to listen to it. So, I just
Amen.
Wanted to correct that. I will receive a
yes.
prophecy any day, but don't
yes.
give me what I already know. Don't waste my time with elementary stuff, is what I'm saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I agree, and I totally agree with you. I am totally in agreement with you. Like I said, I was just, it was just from the beginning statement I was listening to. Bishop said, that's what I, when I was came back and said about if you got to remember, still God is sending his angel. That's what I was making a
Amen.
Off of
Amen.
That. But I truly believe that what Apostle just said, tell you what they think that God has said to them, okay? I truly believe what you just said, too. I got to hear from God, too. I got to have some confirmation. You know, I can't just allow you to come talk to me and say, God told me to tell you to go down the street and jump off this building. I can't do that. So that's not
Amen.
To me, that's
Amen.
Not God. Okay?
Amen.
So
Pastor,
I got to know, it got to be that the word is the truth. That's all to that.
Yeah. And I want to say something. My chief
uh-huh.
apostle ain't no joke. She don't play.
Amen.
She don't tell it to you straight. She don't shoot.
Yes.
She pull it out and aim it straight at you. And that's what I like
Amen.
About her. I'm telling you. See, I don't want to go
mm-hmm.
straight. And I don't want to be led injured in my own mind in the wrong direction. She ain't no joke.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said, Pastor, I want to tell you that I'm in agreement with your feelings. But see, we all understand that this is a training tool, and iron
Amen.
Sharpens iron. Why do they say
Amen.
Iron sharpens iron? If iron didn't need to sharp iron, then iron wouldn't be sharpening iron. That means that
mm-hmm.
if iron needs some sharpening, it's going to take iron to sharpen it. So we're sharpening each other. We're sharpening each other. When my chief apostle was speaking, I hadn't even recognized her number. When she popped up on here, she been on here too. She been listening to everything. Yeah, she did. She been listening to everything. That's my chief apostle. And there's a reason why you call
Praise
her
God.
The chief apostle. That's because, see, I'm a military man, Pastor, so you can understand some of the things I try to use in some of the terminology that
mm-hmm.
I come with. You have a commanding general. Okay, but see, God utilizes commanding generals, chief apostles, and that commanding generals assign task missions and units and companies to all of the leaders that's under his command. And that's my chief apostle, mm-hmm. ain't no joke. And that's real. that's real, she ain't no joke. Is there anyone else in the line who has anything they'd like to say before we close out with prayer? In a few minutes. Come on, talk to me. You are listening to Dr. James Thompson and tonight guest host is Minister Antoinette Cole. And the show is Failure is Not an Option. Fino, come on with it. Talk to me.
Amen. Amen. This is Pastor Andrews. I'm calling from New York of the Church Fairhaven Worship Center under Cultivating Wholeness and Restoration. My overseer is Dr. Kim Warfield, Chair, and I'm giving all honor and glory to the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
To our Chief Apostle, to Bishop Thompson, to all you leaders out there, I just bid you all a good night. I'm so glad to be on the line. The line is full of fire tonight. Failure is not an option, and this line is on fire. It has really encouraged my heart to go on each day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Each
yes,
day
yes.
hearing
Amen.
Failure
yes.
is not an option. Mm. To go
Amen.
On each day, every day when you wake up, that has to hit you, has to hit
yes.
me, has to hit all our leaders so that we can stand in this war right now. We're in a war. Mm. We definitely
yes,
are
we
in
are.
A war right now.
Thank you,
between
Jesus.
Good and evil. And
yes.
you, I thank God for Minister Cole. And I thank you for the lesson tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I truly
yes,
was
Lord.
Encouraged. And the scriptures that that Bishop came out with, I wrote them down here. But I truly enjoyed it. I thank God for being on the line tonight. And I'm encouraged, like I said, of the word. And the whole this whole time that I was listening, I could not help but hear God say to Moses, tell the people I am.
Yes.
And
hallelujah.
That just takes him
Glory
out of the box.
God.
Because he is
Ooh,
I am.
Jesus.
That's all
yes.
I heard.
Hallelujah, God.
Because Moses said, what should I tell the people? He said, just tell
yes.
them I am. In
I
those
am.
Two words,
I am.
Doesn't that
Thank
tell you who
hallelujah.
He is?
Yes.
Amen. Doesn't that
yes,
tell
God.
You who he really
I
is?
Am.
So I
yes,
am.
God. Yes, God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So
Hallelujah.
I just,
thank you,
that's
Lord.
What I wanted to say. And I thank you for that
yes.
because that means all things are possible. All things
yes.
are possible
yes.
through Christ that strengthens us. And that
Come
means
on.
That we're going to walk
yes.
daily hearing
Ooh.
I am.
Yes.
And failure is not an option.
Amen.
Thank God for y'all tonight. So thank you for
Amen.
Having me
yes, Lord.
On your station
Amen.
Tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank
Praise
you.
God for you.
Yes.
And you're absolutely correct. Say it is
not an option. You know, the Lord told me something. The chief apostle spoke about it briefly last night. She said mindset. But the Lord told me a long time ago, and I made the signs, and I handed them out to people. And the little sign says, change your mindset, change your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Change your mindset, change your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen,
you,
amen. Is there anyone else, anyone else that would like to speak? Anyone else? Because the show is archived, and other people will
amen.
Listen to the show. Other callers are calling in. But this is a tool for
yes,
the
it is.
Ministers of got a little tickle in my throat. Cultivating wholeness for them to find their voice, for us
Amen.
To have a platform so that we can speak the word and let it be heard, to find our voice. And I was going to say, if Chief Apostle is still on the line, I wanted to say that I was going to introduce you to her, but that's too late. She already introduced herself.
Okay, so
and,
John. Okay.
Amen.
We can give,
because
her her Facebook information.
Now is she still she's still on the line? Chief Apostle, are you still there?
Okay.
I'm still here.
Oh.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And,
Amen.
What she does is she is so beautiful. It's wonderful. Ministers of men and women of God, pastors who have been oppressed and have been hurt. She repairs that pain. She helps us to become who we need to be in the Lord. And I wanted to introduce you to her, give
Amen.
You her number. I was gonna call her first because I don't send nobody to her without letting her know. But since
right,
she's down here,
right.
I wanted to introduce you to her. And she is training leaders. See,
yes.
you got a whole lot of people out there preaching in churches. A whole
yes.
lot of people out there stepping in line. You can use their dime, their church. But you don't have too many people who concentrated and focus on training the trainers. They're training. They're trainers, training leaders. So pray on it. Think about it. But Minister Cole can give you information. Chief Apostle, do you have anything you'd like to say about that, or you just want to hold on and speak to him one-on-one?
No, I mean, it's what I'm doing, I thought about you tonight, Bishop, I did. And I said, I thank God for this man because he's taken a lot off of my, off of me that I, that because I have so much to do. But one of the things that I do, Pastor, is I, when people come on board to this organization and they're not ordained, one of the things I do is I, or consecrated, I release them to do it thus they are for Lord. Mm-hmm. And I needed some help in the organization. The bishop came on board, and he's practically running the organization as I oversee all that's going on with it. But I trust him because the Lord told me I can trust him enough to just do what he has to do and to allow his ministry to flow, as well as Minister Cole, because I'm coming to Florida to actually release them into their call, whatever God calls me to do. I have released so many leaders, but cultivating wholeness is about cultivating the body, mind, and the spirit, because all too often we only think about the spiritual part. We don't think about the health part. We don't think about the mind part. And so many leaders are so messed up because they have not been cultivated. And that's what God called me to do, not only with them, but I started a business, and I'm bringing in ex-offenders for a home improvement business, and I'm trying to make them whole as well because God says do not despise those whom he's about to bring. So it's a whole ministry. It's not only just spiritual. It's about outreach. Mm-hmm. We got youth here. We have the ex-offenders here. I ran for state senate last year to try to make a difference in the state of Delaware. I'm originally from New York, retired as an NYPD detective, and now I see the ages of when people get in trouble. So I'm trying to pull people, especially the black people. I really believe, and I'm not going to talk long, but I really believe that I was called to continue some of the work that Dr. Martin King did, and that's to bring the blacks, get the blacks to a place of, in other words, to set them free, because some blacks, especially in Delaware, are still in bondage. And to bring us together as a whole. Yes.
Chief Apostle, I have to interrupt you because my show is going to end in 50 seconds. I want to close in prayer, but I'm going to give them, Ms. Cole, we're going to give the pastor her number so that he can speak to her or speak to me, and we can go from there. But can you close us out in prayer? Because we got about 33 seconds.
You want me to close you out?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. Father God and your son, Yeshua, Jesus' name, we pray, Father, that your will be done. And we thank you for all that happened tonight, that went on tonight, Father. And we just thank you for allowing us to come together, not only this time, but come together again in your name. In Jesus' name I pray and I give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I will be here next week with a new guest host, and I will reach out to you, Pastor. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Apostle.
Love everyone. Here we go.
Good night. Good night.
Home.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in, Pastor Ellison.
Yes, thank you.
Right now, Joseph Franklin Brothers, to me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman, be blessed.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church.